These days, the bodies of most people, when they die, go to a morgue, and then to a funeral home, and then to a cemetery. But a provocative article in the Oxford American magazine tells us about sky burials. And just a note, this conversation may not be appropriate for younger listeners. A sky burial is when bodies are left out in the open air to decompose, in this case, in the name of science. The work is done at the Forensic Anthropology Research Facility run by Texas State University in San Marcos, Texas. And writer Alex Marr chronicles why people are drawn to sky burials in her piece for the Oxford American. Alex, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And describe this place you visited. It has a pretty mundane name, and yet it's almost a place that's unimaginable to most people.
I know. I mean, that was the reason why I was so driven to go out and report this story. Basically, you find yourself in San Marcos, which is a big university town, and you drive maybe 20 minutes out of the center of town, and you hit this working ranch, and there's about, I think it's 15 or 16 acres at this point that have been set aside behind a series of gates that you need a key card to get past. And within that area, you have fields, just open fields, where recently deceased human bodies have been laid out for scientific study. And I think especially in a culture like ours here in the States, where, you know, we're really afraid of even dealing with the fact of aging. You know, you look at the pop culture that surrounds us. So the fact that there's this place in the middle of the country where actually you have to stare death in the face literally was so fascinating to me, and also a little bit daunting. But I knew I had to go out there and take a look myself.
I gather that this is for crime scene research. What are they studying?
They're trying to come up with more accurate ways of determining how much time has lapsed since death. What they'll do with some of these bodies is they will partially bury them on the grounds, mm-hmm. and they'll do different kinds of scenarios, sort of pretending that a body's just been discovered somewhere else in the state. What would you do? And, you know, what kind of care do you have to use in approaching the remains and making notes? How would you discuss what you've discovered with the authorities, that kind of thing?
In some ways, it sounds so impersonal when you're talking about this research. But, you know, it's probably important to remember that these are real people that we're talking about. And you describe some of them. There's Patty, the maverick mom of a big Catholic family. You've got Bill, who was a war veteran who had PTSD when he got home. Tell us more about the actual people who ended up here and how they made the decision, the maybe controversial decision to donate their bodies to the desert, basically.
The donations are done anonymously. So in this case, I was fortunate enough to find family members who were willing to talk, and who, you know, were doing that in part because they believed in the research, and also because, you know, they were really alienated by the funeral industry in this country. They just didn't believe that that was the right way to do things.
Yeah,
now, this, of course, for a lot of people would be swinging really hard the other way, right? So,
and I imagine that, you know, this is very difficult, as you mentioned, for some families, you know, because what happens to these bodies is in some ways it's very natural, but it's very terrifying, too. There's a vulture study, I think you refer to in your piece. Tell us about that.
Yeah, one of the things that the researchers did not take into account, which is so fascinating to me, is that, you know, there are vultures in the area, as there are in many parts of the Southwest. And what they discovered is early on when they had just a few bodies out there, some of them were being disturbed. And they had to place motion-sensitive ranch cameras, and they discovered pretty quickly that vultures were actually swooping down and speeding up the decomposition of the bodies.
Wow.
So they were able to get a lot of information from that, that's ended up being very relevant to investigations that might take place anywhere in the Southwest.
And so, to me, I just feel like families would have a really difficult time with this. And I wonder if they felt at all that they were left out of the traditional mourning process.
You know, of the two people who I sort of whose lives I sort of recreate in the piece, Patty Robinson's family, and she has five adult children who I spoke with all of them in depth. They are such a unique family. They just had a really unconventional view of the whole thing. Their mother was she considered herself to be a fairly devout Catholic, but it was on her own terms. She was still a liberal and very much a feminist. And she was really excited about the idea of being donated to science in whatever capacity. So her kids were totally thrilled when they found out that not only had, you know, was she being put to good use as part of this kind of work, but that she had been a key part of this specific study, the Vulture study, that led to some really original findings. And so when an essay was published about the Vulture study, you know, they were really excited that their mom was a part of the press.
And at one point, I think the family even sees their mother's bones in that study.
Yeah, it was a bit of a delicate balance because one of her sons gave an interview in which he you know, identified her remains. So some of his siblings found out, you know, it was a bit of a surprise when they saw on Facebook that this link was being passed around.
And you yourself actually held Patty's bones in your hands. I wonder if this story, writing it and reporting it, sort of demystified the fear of death for you a little bit, or maybe even made it worse.
I don't know. When you say that, of course, you're presuming that there's a fear involved. But I sort of, you know, it made me think that wouldn't it be ideal if there were some way in which we could all just have more of a natural sense of death as just another part of the life cycle, right? I mean, that was one of the things that I really felt confronted with. The researchers, that's how they treat it, and that's how they wrap their heads around it. I will tell you, I feel somewhat changed from the encounter. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if I would choose to donate myself, although I tried really hard to put myself in the shoes of the people choosing to donate.
This is not new because all throughout history we see examples of seeking this type of burial. You call it sky burials in the piece. And, you know, we see this in Native American culture. We've seen it in Tibet and in India. Tell us about some of the history of sky burials.
Yeah, well, the technical term is excarnation, which simply means, you know, it has to do with the shedding of the flesh from the body, you know, the whole process of natural decomposition outdoors. But it's more specifically been done for spiritual reasons, as you mentioned, in Tibet, where Buddhist monks will be left out for vultures and animals to consume their bodies. My understanding is that there's this sense of returning back to nature and that we're all one with the rest of the world. It's not legal in this country, but it's happening by default for scientific rather than spiritual reasons in San Marcos. One of the things that I found completely amazing in researching this piece is that after this initial vulture study was published, at that point, they started getting one in three of their donor calls. There were inquiries specifically about being able to take part in the vulture study. So now people were calling saying, you know, I'm interested in donating my body when I die. But here's the deal. I really want to be eaten by vultures. So obviously something about this ritual taps into something that's also relevant in some part of this country.
I was just going to say, untapped demand, possibly. Alex Marr wrote about sky burials in Texas for the Oxford American Magazine. Alex, thank you so much.
Thank you.